Let me open up with some scripture and then we'll pray together. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the relief that it is to know that you have the whole world in your hands. And although it is nothing to you but dust in the scales to uphold the whole universe that you have made by the word of your power, it was such a great burden to lift our sins from our shoulders and to lay them upon your own Son. At such great cost, Father, at such a great burden, such a great weight to lift was ours, and you lifted it. Father, we thank you for this gospel of Jesus Christ, and we pray that this evening you would fix our eyes upon our Saviour again that you have given to us, that we would leave this place happy and confident to know and follow him. Amen. Well, this evening is one of those times where I couldn't decide which of the readings to pick, so we've got a few. Okay, so we'll go with Deuteronomy first, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 to 8, and then we'll read some more passages from Deuteronomy. And as we read these ones from the book of Deuteronomy, we're filling in the gaps as we turn to Numbers 27 later and learn about the death of Moses and the singling out of Joshua to lead the church full of the Holy Spirit, just like the Lord Jesus. So Deuteronomy chapter 31, from verse 1 to 8. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites and their land, when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord, your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. And then from chapter 32, verses 48 to the end of that chapter. Then the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho. View the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Because you trespass against me, you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Sin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel, yet you shall see the land before you, though you shall not go there, into the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. And then lastly from Deuteronomy chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all his servants and in all his land, and by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Amen. May God bless that to us. Now turn with me to Luke and chapter 4, Luke's Gospel and chapter 4. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of Joshua, filled with the Holy Spirit for his task, as Joshua was. Luke 4, verses 16 to 21. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And then just one more, Mark's Gospel and chapter 6. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. This is a little bit later on in Jesus' ministry, where not just in word but in deed as well he is fulfilling Joshua, and all that Joshua pointed towards in himself pointed to Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to Jesus. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered them and said, You give them something to eat. And they said to him, Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, How many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to us and help us by his spirit to delve deeply into what it means. If you turn with me then to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. We're taking on verses 12 to 13 today. Now the Lord said to Moses, Go up into this Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Sin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my commands to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Sin. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. He and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Alexander Dober. Do you know that name? Alexander Dober. What an exciting life this man had. He saw the world, traveled the world, and he had great big journeys. A lot of it was, he was a fit man. He liked to go long distances under his own power. He wrote books about his many adventures, including he crossed the Atlantic Ocean several times in a kayak, paddling by himself. And he did this even into his 70s. Would you fancy paddling across the Atlantic in your 70s? I couldn't do it now. In 2021, Alexander Dober climbed the highest mountain in Africa, which is Kilimanjaro. He was 74. He got to the very top and he thought, I'll have a rest. He sat down on a rock on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro and he looked at the land all around him, and then witnesses there at the time said he just fell asleep and died. An old man peacefully dying on a summit after a very exciting life. Is that all that's happening here in Numbers 27, with the death of Moses and with the inauguration of Joshua? Is that all that's happening? We're going to see two things here. The first is, we've got these two main characters, haven't we, in this little section. We've got Moses and we've got Joshua. First of all, we're going to look at Moses in verses 12 to 17. He looks at Canaan and he sees heaven. Entering the promised land was always going to be glorious, wasn't it? They've been working up to it for ages. Look at all the Bible that's behind it. We're working up to this point, entering the promised land. But was that it? Was that the peak? What's with the rest of this Bible? Reaching the promised land was not the end of the journey. The promised land is a symbol, a picture, a foretaste of the life which the Lord Jesus has in store for everyone who will follow him. The promised land, in the eyes of the ancient church, was like heaven on earth. A friend of mine illustrates it like this. Imagine you go to the cinema. You sit down in the cinema room, and in front of you is a blank screen. And then someone in the projector room turns on the projector. And this amazing picture that is worth paying to see gets projected from in there onto the screen in front of you. When it comes to the promised land, it's as if heaven is the heavenly projector room. And it projects heaven onto this place on planet Earth. And there, looking at that place, we see heaven. We see the church at worship with the Trinity. We see our Father in heaven glorified and honored. We see in that place, heaven on earth, his word being kept, his kingdom come down, his will done on earth as it is in heaven. We see in that place his daily bread given to his people, justice executed, evil scrubbed out, sins forgiven, people forgiving one another and loving their neighbor and all the rest of it. The promised land was just a picture of what is going on up there, what is promised to those who love and follow Jesus. Do you think Moses knew that? You bet. He knew that. He knew that the promised land only whetted the appetite of those who know and love Jesus. In verses 12 to 13, he looks out at Canaan, but he sees what Canaan symbolized. Listen to what Hebrews 11 says about this. These all, including Moses, died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. See, he's not got his eyes on this earth. He says, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. A little bit later in Hebrews 11, it says that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He's looking forward, isn't he? Looking at Canaan, he sees glory. He knows that in his death, all he's doing is moving from the cinema room to the projector room, seeing the real thing. Many Christians have had similar experiences to Moses. The Lord Jesus coming to them in their last days or hours and showing them things of the glory that they're about to enter into. Have you heard those stories? Have you seen it yourself? Don't think that Moses faced death with his eyes full of the earth and a bitter heart. He had eyes for Jesus and his heavenly kingdom. And as it happens, a long time later, Moses did actually get to enter the promised land. Do you remember that? Matthew 17, the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he brings Moses over the Jordan into the promised land. See, he had his eyes on that heavenly country when he saw the promised land. I want you to consider how exciting Moses' life had been. How much do you think he even forgot? Because there was so much action packed into his life, wasn't there? When he was a prince in Egypt, and the Lord overwatched his crib as it floated in the Nile. He saw a burning bush and saw Christ in it and heard the voice of God speaking to him. He watched his own hand turn leprous white and then be healed. He saw plagues poured out from heaven, supernatural, extraordinary things, bringing down the superpower in which he once had so much influence. He led the Exodus, this enormous crowd of mixed people, so many people that he was responsible for, and he led them into the desert. He led them to the Red Sea. And he stuck his staff over it, and the waters just split open in front of him, and a path appeared in the sea, and he actually walked in the middle. Do you remember Moses? My, I'd nearly forgotten that one, so much has happened to me. When I was in the middle of the Red Sea, and there was water here, and there was water here, and we were fine. He watched the sea fold in on itself again and cover up all of their enemies. He walked in the desert and saw water spring out of rocks. He saw the food of angels, Psalm says, angel food, appearing on the floor every morning for them to eat. He saw terrible plagues strike down disobedient people and the earth open up to swallow people who would not trust in Jesus. He was led by an amazing pillar of cloud and fire from which he would meet and speak with the Lord himself face to face, just like you and I speak to our pals. He came to Sinai, full of fire and smoke, the mountains themselves shaking and all the people shaking and saying, I can't bear to hear this anymore. The word of God is so powerful and overwhelming. Moses, you go. Moses has to go up onto the mountain. And he sees and hears angels giving the word of God. He meets with Christ and is passed his handwriting on stones twice. Somehow he crosses a barrier into the third heaven, and he sees the throne room of God on the mountain. And he is personally handed by the living God the blueprints of the whole universe in his hands. And he says, I want you to make a copy of this. Do it according to this pattern. He has to come down the mountain. And he makes the tabernacle according to this pattern. And it has to incorporate literally everything in the whole universe. What an exciting life to see Amalek brought down, giants brought down, all of his enemies brought down, his brother and his sister exalted and brought down. And yet, after such an exciting life, so much in it, so many things, and how much have we missed out? And then at his death, in Deuteronomy 3, verse 24, he says to the Lord who's with him, let's see if I can find it. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 24, the most amazing thing. Here is Moses, 120 years old, after probably the most exciting life anyone has ever lived on planet Earth. And he says, Lord, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. Eighty years after he first heard Jesus' promise in the burning bush, he says, Lord, you have only just begun to show me what you have in store for your church. You and I, we don't know the half of what is ahead of us. If all of the excitement and glory that is wrapped up in Moses' long life, he says, that's just the beginning. We don't know the half of what is ahead of us in the new earth. And the foretastes that we have here are just mere glimpses. They are. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things which the Lord has laid up in store for those who love him. Moses then shows us how Christians die. Happy to have seen Jesus at work here in our lives, and very eager to see him working even in his presence. Now, we get to work now towards Joshua. And as we do, we get another glimpse into Moses' heart, one of the greatest Christians in all history. Do you remember how long he's been waiting since Exodus 3, since he got that promise of entering the promised land? Do you remember how long it's been? 80 years. 80 years looking forward to the promised land, and now he's about to die on the threshold. Is he bitter? Not at all. Isn't that amazing? 80 years that he's been waiting for this wonderful promise to be fulfilled, and now it's as if it's been taken from him at the last moment. And in that moment, he doesn't get bitter. In verses 15 to 17 of Numbers 27, he's thinking of and praying for the church. What a great way to face old age. When the promises that life holds out, when the potentialities and possibilities of our future seem to fade away, he prays for the church. Lord, he says, here's his dying wish. Lord, this is verse 16 and 17. You know how you have always led the church so well. You know how you have always gone in and out before us. You know how you've always kept us safe like a good shepherd. Please give to the church someone just like you when I go to join Aaron and Miriam and all the others who trusted you here. Do you hear that? Give them someone just like you. That's what he's getting at in verses 16 and 17. When he says, give them someone who's going to go out and go in before them, just as the Lord has always, that's always been said of the Lord, hasn't it, so far? Give them someone just like you. Someone just like the Lord. Someone just like Christ. And now we get to look at Joshua, verses 18 to 23. For the rest of the chapter, our attention is drawn away from Moses and to this man who is just like Christ. And the lesson is similar to what's gone on before. Just as Moses looked at Canaan and learned to look for heaven, so now we look at Joshua and learn to follow Jesus. It's quite fitting that Moses cannot lead the church into the land. You see, Moses represents the law, doesn't he? And the law of God is unable to take us into new life because, well, we keep breaking it. The law constantly exposes our failure. We cannot live up to it. We cannot please the Lord ourselves. And so Moses knows that if church is going to succeed, if church is going to reach a new earth, if church is going to get through life safely, it's going to need to be led by a man full of grace, full of power to actually bring these things about. And so Moses very wisely hands that job onto someone who is just like Jesus. Remember how John opens his gospel? The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so Moses takes a very godly and a Christ-like man whose name was Hoshea. Do you remember that? And he renames him what? Jesus. Get that in Numbers chapter 13, verse 16. He takes Hoshea and he renames him Jesus, as if it couldn't be more obvious to us what's going on here. You know how you've got the name John and Johan and Yuan and Joan, and it's all the same name, but they sound different? It's a bit like that with the names Jesus and Joshua. It's the same name. And so when Moses takes Hoshea and renames him Jesus, the Lord saves, he's telling us something. We need to be led by someone just like Jesus. And this is what Galatians is getting at when it says that Moses was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. In Moses' dying prayers, he is instructing us to look away from him, to look away from law, to look away from the things that we fail to do and look to Jesus. He can do it. Moses says to us from the heavenly projector room this evening, if you're to safely navigate this life, if you're to get through death, if you're to get to the promised land, the new heavens, the new earth, don't look at me. Don't look at law, which you cannot keep. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. And to illustrate that very point that Moses is making, he wants to show us Joshua. And so he writes about Joshua here in Numbers 27. He tells us all about Joshua, this man just like Jesus, this godly man who has humbly been serving, but quietly in the background, getting on with it. Whatever the word of God says that he does, whether it is fighting with all of his strength against Amalek or praying in the Lord's presence. Remember in Exodus 33, it says there was lots of comings and goings in the tent, but Joshua stayed in there all the time with the Lord. He goes into the promised land, remember, as a spy, and no matter what he saw, how high the walls were, how tall the giants were, how big the battlements were, he trusted the Lord. And so here is Joshua, the designated, anointed one, as it were, the Christ. Joshua Jesus will take the church where Moses can't into new life that has been promised to them. Joshua is Jesus in dress rehearsal. Look at Joshua. See the Lord Jesus Christ. See him in his heart, his character, his mission, his power, everything about him smacks of Jesus Christ. Not only do they have the same name, but Jesus goes on in his earthly ministry to deliberately replay and fulfill Joshua as the saviour of the church. We read Mark 6 earlier. You might want to turn there again for a moment. Mark chapter 6 with the feeding of the 5,000. And it seems here that Jesus Christ in his actions, and Mark in the way that he writes this down, is pointing out that Jesus is fulfilling Joshua. In verse 31, Jesus, just like Joshua, leads his followers to rest, even in the desert. In verse 34, it says that he is compassionate on the people that he sees because they look like sheep without a shepherd. Do you remember that came up in Numbers 27? Jesus feeds them in the desert in verse 39 and following, and in so doing, he makes them lie down by the lake, by still waters. And Mark even points out that the grass was green. He makes us lie down in green pastures, like a good shepherd, just like Joshua. In verse 40, he divides them into hundreds and fifties, just as Joshua governed the people of God. After he's finished feeding them, there are these 12 baskets full of fragments, as if every tribe of Israel can have more than all they need from the hands of Jesus. You see, he's fulfilling Joshua for us so clearly. Jesus is the good shepherd who can get us safely through life and death into new heavens and new earth, just like Joshua got the church through the desert and into the promised land, into heaven on earth. Do you think it's safe to follow Jesus? Do you think he knows what he's doing? One look at Numbers 27 and how Joshua is set up and placarded before us as the trustworthy man of God to lead his church. We say, yes, Jesus Christ is safe and good to follow. But there's more. In Numbers 27, verse 21, Joshua is faced with this impossible task of leading the church, and to help him, he is given this relationship with Eleazar, the high priest. And it's basically when Joshua is stuck and doesn't know what to do, he goes to the high priest who tells him what to do from the Lord. Joshua, all his life, will say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Just as Jesus always looked to the hand of the Father. And just as the Father has laid his hands on Jesus Christ and says, this is the Lamb of God who is sacrificed for the sake of the church, so Moses in verse 23 lays his hands on Joshua. This is a life sacrificed for the sake of the church. Oh, there's so much, isn't there? There's so much we could talk about with Joshua and Jesus. I'm going over time, so I'm going to skip loads of it. You'll have to ask me about it later. Let me jump to the main thing, okay? Here's what I think Moses wants you to take home today from Numbers 27. There's lots of angles. Here's the big one. The main thing that he wants you to get out of verses 18 to 23, and it is to do with the Holy Spirit. I want you to hold on, okay? It's going to be a bit weird, this bit, maybe, but it'll be really good, okay? I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you've got it, 2 Kings chapter 2. Find 2 Kings in chapter 2, but don't read it. All right? Just have it open in front of you, because I'm going to try and get through this without confusing you all. We're thinking about how Moses and Joshua, how this baton gets passed on and what the Holy Spirit has to do with it, okay? Moses parts the Red Sea, splits those waters apart. And he leads the church through the waters into a new life, didn't he? Do you remember that? And in Numbers 27, he gives something of his Spirit, the Spirit of God, to Joshua, verses 19 to 23. Through the waters, leading the church into new life, gives Joshua of the Holy Spirit, and then Joshua splits open the Jordan River and leads the church through it into new life. Do you see it? Splits the waters open, gives the Holy Spirit, splits the waters open. And the point is this, that the same Holy Spirit who empowers Moses for his ministry to save the church now empowers Joshua in his ministry to save the church. Now look at 2 Kings chapter 2, where the writer very clearly copies Numbers 27. It is time in 2 Kings 2 for Elijah to go up to the Lord, just like Moses went up to the Lord. And the same sequence happens. Look at verse 7 onwards, or verse 6. Elijah says to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50, that's interesting, men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now, Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you." Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw Elisha, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." Do you see it? The same thing. The waters are split by one man. He gives his Holy Spirit to another. And that man then goes on to split the waters. And the point is verse 15. That the same Spirit who empowers Elijah for his ministry is now empowering Elisha for his ministry. That is how Kings reads Numbers 27. Do you make it through? A bit strange that. Numbers 27 tells us to look at Joshua and to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's anointed man, filled with the Holy Spirit from the Father for power and certain success. Jesus can achieve the impossible task given to him by the Father because he is filled with his Holy Spirit. We can follow Jesus, who passed through the waters of baptism to receive the Holy Spirit from the Father, who then goes on to part the waters of death and lead everyone who will follow him safely into his Spirit-filled life. Oh. We can follow Jesus, the Son of the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's safe to follow. I'm finishing, okay? If you lived in Numbers 27, what would you do? You are on the border. All around you are people who hate you. You've killed half of them. The rest of them are very miffed that you are there. Moses is about to die. There's a desert behind you and a massive river in front of you. There's nowhere to go. The land that you're heading towards is full of hostile enemies, and the odds seem very much against you. What do you do? Sometimes in life, we just don't know what to do. The world constantly tells us to be big and strong, to work it out, to do it yourself. Find it inside yourself. Life gives you lemons, make lemonade. What about when my dreams come crashing down? When life doesn't work out the way I hoped it would? What about when the end is nigh and I'm not ready to die? It is a crushing burden to sort out our own impossible problems, isn't it? If only I had someone to follow, to trust, to hold on to, who can show me the safe way through life. That is the relief of Numbers 27. God has pointed out his man, Jesus Christ. He has filled him with the Holy Spirit so that he will be certainly successful in leading all who will follow him home. The Father is speaking to you today, and he bids you to call this man, Jesus Christ, your brother and your captain, and to follow him. And it is safe for you to do that. It is safe for us to trust this mighty and this loving Lord Jesus Christ and follow him wherever he goes. In the church, he will safely lead us through this life and even through death and out the back door of death, because he found that. And he will take us into a new land where righteousness dwells. What do we do? Numbers 27, verse 20 says, we follow, we submit, we trust, and obey Jesus Christ. I want you to imagine for a moment Imna. Do you remember Imna? Have you been memorizing the genealogies and the censuses of Numbers? Imna from the tribe of Asher, facing that uncharted territory full of risks and threats. He's timid about the uncertain future. He's concerned about his family. He's responsible for them all, but he knows that war is ahead of them. There's nowhere to turn. What does he do? And then he sees Joshua, a man just like Jesus, leading the way for the church. And Imnah says in his own heart, I'm not sure about myself, but I am sure about him. Can you say that in your own heart today? With whatever it is you're facing in this life, whatever it is you're worrying about in the future, I'm not sure, I'm not certain about myself, but I'm sure about him, the Son of the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I don't know if I can do it, but he sure can. I'm going to trust and follow him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we aren't sure about ourselves. We don't have it in us to make it through a day, let alone our lifetime. We are not ready for what lies ahead of us. But Father, we thank you for the sight of Jesus Christ, your Joshua man, your Son filled with the Holy Spirit from the Father, so that he will certainly be successful in leading us safely home. Father, we pray that you would make us content and satisfied to follow him all our lives long, to trust him. Lord, we thank you that it's safe to follow Jesus, and we pray that you'd grant us faith today to do just that. Send us home with your blessing, we pray. Let us lay our heads down on our pillows and rest happy and secure in the knowledge that the Lord Jesus has loved us and bid us to follow him. Amen.